everybody. Welcome to Word of the Bay. My name is Nick.
I am Kyle.
And I'm Anthony.
And I'm back.
Nick's back.
Nick's back.
Woo! Happy to be back.
The Bucks are ruined. Everything sucks.
So I got to say, Ben's not allowed to wear like half of his onesies anymore because they just keep losing when I put them in them.
Oh, God.
Actually, I'm back too because I was absent last week.
Were absent as well. Yeah.
I wouldn't know because I wasn't here.
Yeah. Does he have like the Jameis Winston onesie?
No, it's all just random Bucks stuff.
I saw a good one for him.
Okay, do we want to start off with the Sergachev story?
So do you want to go good?
No,
bad,
we're gonna go Bucks first.
Good,
no, okay. We gotta go Bucks yeah. first.
All right,
I gotta get it out. We gotta move on.
Let's if you got hate in your heart, let it out.
We're gonna get it out. Move on. Fuck, man. I said last week, I'm not going to come on the show every week, and I'm not going to yell about the Bucks. That's not a thing.
You're
going to
calmly complain about them?
I'm just
going to
calmly... What the fuck?
We tried this 2 weeks ago, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Here we are again.
Woeful. That's my word for them.
Woeful.
Every aspect of them is disappointing.
So disappointing. I think this is one of the most disappointing seasons I've ever watched as a fan.
Do you remember after the 10-6 year with Marie Morris? This is more disappointing than that.
Okay, but that felt like fool's gold.
Yes.
That 10-6 year, there was a lot of people like,
feels like fool's platinum.
We had Josh Freeman back then. There was reason to believe back then. I mean,
who do we have now? Is there a reason to believe?
Yes, that's why I'm saying it's almost mirror imaged of like the career path. Okay, he had a good year, then followed by a bad year.
So, can we go through the game of parts that we recognize they fucked up at?
That's fine.
Number one, starting Jameis Winston. If you know he's hurt,
shut him down.
What are you doing?
Shut him down. He's done. That's it. It's over. Goodbye.
Ryan Griffin is now okay. You can activate him as the backup and limp this shitty season out. There's no reason to ruin your franchise quarterback to try and maybe save an 8-8 season.
It's like nobody learned any fucking thing from Indianapolis. Look at Andrew Luck. He's still not playing because the Colts waited too long to acknowledge that he had a real fucking injury to shut him down.
Side note, his coach has gone off record saying to one of the team staff that his injury's in his ears or in between his ears, not in his shoulder.
Wait, whose?
Luck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was Irsay.
They're Ooh. Saying is like he doesn't trust his arm.
It was Irsay.
Yeah. Wasn't that his coach?
Which, fuck you, number one.
Jim Irsay's a fucking...
Yeah, he's a fucking idiot.
Dude, he's probably the first or second coach fired this offseason, yes or no?
Is anybody noticing this with YouTube where like I can't...
It happened to me too.
Is it happening with everybody?
Yeah.
Like it's just black video. Like,
yeah.
The video starts to play.
It sums
black.
Up with their servers.
Yeah. Okay. All yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off, Nick, but
I thought it was my graphics card taking a shit.
Okay, so Jim Irsay, second... Or first head coach fired in the offseason?
Chuck Pecan. He's not a head coach. He's the owner.
The owner.
Oh, that was the owner.
That's who
that said that.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, yes.
Well, they can't fire him.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. That's why he said it.
I don't know. But the thing is, how do we get up to that from Andrew Luck? Shut him down. He didn't look good last week. He didn't look good this week.
Nope.
Or last week or the week before, I should say. And hey, we got. This Brian Egger punt where
stay on topic, Kyle. Stay on topic.
That's something. When our punt game's not even like good. That's what we had all of last season was at least we could play the field game.
Oh no. Okay, but to stay on topic because let's build. Let's build to this point. I have a fucking point to make here. Jameis Winston should have been shut down last week. He should not have played this week for sure. After it got if it got. The thing was, the rhetoric was, okay, it got hurt, and then it hurt in the Bills game, and then that following Friday, he had re-aggravated it some. Okay, fine. If that's the story to that point, then that's fine. If he goes out and plays the way he did against the Bills, then whatever. It's fine. And then what happens, what continues to happen is, like, it's like, well, he did this, he did that, but, like, if he hurt it, re-aggravated it again, and then that's it. That's you're done. It's done. It's done. It's like, don't start him that fucking week. But then we continue to start him, and it continues to get re-aggravated.
They
shut him fucking down.
The preface to every quarterback thing is we stopped him from making more damage to himself. Well, if he does it in practice every fucking week, that's doing more harm than good.
He can't practice. He can't practice the other thing.
What's so fucking unbelievable to me about this is that it's his throwing shoulder.
Yes.
So there's no possible way that it's going to get better without rest.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to be using it every fucking Sunday.
Right.
Like,
right.
And then, yeah, yeah. If he's not practicing, then maybe he shouldn't be playing. Like, the season is done. Maybe Dirk Cutter just thought, okay, the season, like, we can still save the season with this game.
Did I say 11-5? I meant 5-11.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way.
We're all very
sorry about that whole playoff thing. That we probably.
Whoops.
Word of the Bay Jinx.
Yeah. But the, okay, so
no, that's the Fitzpatrick jinx.
But there's that, okay. So there's that's one thing, and then the other thing is just like, does this seem like a disciplined team? It seems like we're just like
hell.
It gets worse every week.
Hell no.
When you have two players on the team say to different reporters, "Yeah, this is about the time when people when guys start to give up," that's not a good thing to hear from your best offensive lineman, in my opinion. Right tackle DeMar Dotson, and DeSean Jackson said, I've never seen struggle like this on a team.
Yeah. But speaking of DeSean Jackson, the only thing I know about DeSean Jackson from that game was the look on his face after James Winston was like, you know what this is?
It's a W. I'm gonna eat a W. Like, okay.
I want to move to what became the bigger story than the loss, which was the incident towards the end of the game between Winston and
Good. I want to address this as well.
Yeah, I want to start off with this.
I didn't see it. Like, Anthony and I had gone
really?
To Ferg's. Yeah, because him and I walked down to Ferg's at halftime, and then by that time it was embarrassing, so we were just eating chicken wings and hanging out.
other football.
Yeah, so I barely saw like the moment that happened. So,
go ahead, Anthony.
Dirk said that he didn't see it happen.
God,
and I want to lay this out for you. Your injured quarterback, franchise quarterback, got up off the bench, okay, or towards the back of the sideline or whatever, went out onto the field and poked somebody in the back of the helmet, and then your star wide receiver made a bullet from the other side of the field and knocked that cornerback or whatever he is on his ass, and you didn't see it. You saw none of that.
What part of your job did you just there?
Not
here you
a
go,
thing,
you go.
Dirk, huh?
Yeah.
Two of your most important players.
Arguably the two most important players.
And you didn't see it? What does that mean?
Dirk Cutter, like so.
How
Dirk,
did you not see it?
Here's Dirk Cutter right there.
Didn't
Dirk,
see it.
Dirk Cutter is on this side of our screen. Okay, like they're about to show a replay. So you tell me. Like, yeah. Jameis Winston would have had to walk if not, like, he would have had to walk right by Dirk Cutter. Wait, hold on.
We're going to figure this out.
Oh, shit, we got the wide angle. Oh, damn it. Fuck.
Damn it, YouTube.
And look at Winston taunting 30-3.
Points him on the back, yeah.
Yeah, like, come on, bro, go sit down.
This team is it's not a disciplined team.
I was just.
It's not a good team. It's not. It's like Jameis Winston.
By the way, he's coming into frame there.
He's doing. Yeah, there he is. He's doing the things that we were promised he wouldn't do once he gets to the pros. Well, this is one. This is one example. Okay, fair enough.
He's been an angel otherwise. But
well, there was that thing at what was that that elementary
that school
where
I need my girls to be quiet. And
yeah.
I
no, it was.
It was that.
I'm talking just straight up on the field.
Oh,
he's been amazing.
Yeah.
Except for the turnovers.
Wasn't there? I feel like there was something last year, though, that he did.
I don't know. But the thing about it is, it's like, that's.
Oh, the headbutt against Dallas.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's not.
That was so small,
good,
I don't
bro.
Remember it.
And then
it hurt the game. Like, it cost us in that game.
Jameis apologizes a bit. Well, he's only 23.
Yeah, but what's the excuse for eventually? He's a third-year quarterback, not. I'm 23-year-old. I'm sorry you entered the NFL.
Okay, anyway, we've had this conversation.
Got it.
Let's talk about this as an isolated incident.
No, this is an incident that can like it's been a slow build as this losing streak has started. It's gotten worse and worse every single game.
He's never lost this much before.
Well, too fucking bad, bro.
At any level, well, I'm just saying there's a result here. He's never had to be this bad for this long.
But I'm not talking, like, what I just said, I'm not talking specifically about Winston. I'm talking about the team as a whole. But, like, yeah, he's been, like, this year has been bad for him when it should have been a big year for him as far as, like, development. Is he the guy or is he not the guy? But he's also injured. So, like, that kind of that plays into it as well. Okay, he's been injured for the last three games. So it's like, this is not the body of work to judge him over because he's injured. But I'm just saying, like the this team, and the way we've been playing, and the expectations that we had prior to the season compared to where we are now, I think I'm on the Fire Dirk Cutter train. Boom. Ooh. That's it. Fuck them. Fire them. I'm done.
I agree with you because of this. This has all these signs of a team that has, one, given up.
Yep.
And two, the coaching staff has completely lost
control.
Yeah. And when that happens, usually you got to get rid of the guy. Because he's not going to get it back.
I'm almost there.
I'm there.
I'm almost there.
I don't give a fuck. Because you know what? I was for keeping Lovie Smith. I was not pleased when Lovie Smith was fired. I came on the show. You can hear what the fuck I said. Like it's documented. I was for the consistency of keeping Lovie Smith
for a third year.
Yeah, and so we fired him. So I was like, well, fuck. Okay, Cutter. Okay, full. Well, you know, fuck him. Get the fuck rid of him. And like, I don't want to hear like, well, let's have some consistency, Kyle. Fuck you. That was me when we fired Lovie Smith. So everybody was like slinging their dicks out, like jacking off when we hired Dirk Cutter. So fuck yourselves. Fire him. Get him the fuck out of here. Get the next coach in.
So I gotta ask.
I'm 30 fucking years old. I've had enough of this.
Who do you want?
Let him win another one before I fucking die. On to the fucking next one. Fuck him.
Who comes out of retirement to coach the Bucks?
It's John Gruden.
Fuck you.
No. It might be John Gruden.
All right, so you guys are in the room with me, so I'm not ranting to myself. But that when in sports and in the history of time has that ever worked?
Phil
you fire
Jackson.
A guy, you bring him back. He retired, right? Did he retire?
Well, he got fired and then he retired.
Oh, but brought back by the same team. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, Phil Jackson. Oh, no. I thought you were talking about Gruden. I was like, how do you not know this?
No.
Like,
I'm saying.
Phil Jackson, I don't know.
Maybe any coach or actually, yeah. It's just, it doesn't work. But you know
Dude,
what?
Justin
Pulowski, like, say what you will about Justin Pulowski. I love the guy, but he has, like, controversial takes a lot. You know, he stirs the shit. He, like, fucking stirs the pot a lot. He's a fuck, like he's an asshole. That's what he does.
I mean, who else are you going to hire?
But the thing is like, yes.
He's at least named
Fucky McFucker from Philadelphia. I don't know.
Barry Melrose.
The point that he brought up is that we have a Monday Night Football game coming up at home. At home. Okay.
Yep.
Where are you going with this?
Because that means Gruden's going to be
in
the
house. That means Gruden will be in the stadium on Monday Night Football
in front of
a bunch of fucking
really
unruly
pissed off
fans.
We want Gruden.
So the opposite.
We want Gruden.
Glass
breaks.
Yeah, that's
what you're going to hear. Yep.
Glass breaks and Gruden walks out like.
Yep. Oh, my God.
He already has his old gear on. He's coming down.
He points at Dirk on the sideline.
He just grabs fucking Monty Kiffin is in the seats in the nosebleeds because he can't afford anything
else. Monty Kiffin's his manager.
He's like, you know what? Hey, you know what, man? I think I'm going to go down there. And then like the next, it cuts to commercial. Come back. He's on the side like grimacing with his fucking play sheet.
Just shadowing Cutter. Yeah.
Points at Dirk like as he's coming down the ramp and he like stuns him and takes the head.
You!
Let's see. I'm trying to find
his
out.
His coaching staff falls in.
Is it against the Falcons? No. I don't think
it's that cool.
The Lions? No.
The Bears.
I don't know. I don't know.
Tigers. Oh my.
It doesn't say when the game is. Like Panthers maybe?
Is it 8:30 at night?
They don't see, actually you're right. Falcons. Yes, it is against the Falcons at home.
Another disappointing team this year. Great. It's going to be the shit Monday Night Football game.
Fuck, we don't have many games left. One, two,
no,
three,
man, we're
going to
thank
lose.
God.
Fuck.
Yeah, we suck.
The NFL is almost over. I don't care about the Bucks. The NFL.
No, that means the playoffs are almost here.
That means
Super
bowl season's
Super
almost
bowl.
Here.
Super Bowl party! We're getting another keg.
Hey guys,
it's happening.
What? I'll wait to the next segment to give us our cheering up, though. So.
Where were we going? Oh, yeah. So that's the thing. Like, Gruden will be in the house. So it'll be.
So we're upset with coaching.
I don't know. Gruden might come back.
Yeah.
It's what
apparently,
it feels like.
Apparently, there's some smoke to the Tennessee rumors, the Volunteers, the college football team, Tennessee.
Really?
There's a little bit of smoke around that I've been hearing.
And when I say Gruden might come back, I mean, like, I don't know.
Can I tell you, Kyle said this many times on this show, That's going to be terrible for Tennessee because the one thing he's proven he can't do is develop young talent.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. I guess they just want to make a splash.
The thing, okay, here's the thing.
What do you think?
I can't.
What do you think we would be doing if we hired him?
Yes, that's exactly it.
The whole thing, though, like, with that is, especially recruiting, like, John Gruden walks into a fucking high schooler's house. It's like, I'm John fucking Gruden. Like, you've seen that Monday Night Football.
Hey, How about you think you're the next one on my QB
camp?
Thank
he comes
you.
In. Hey, man.
I had to quit because
I
took this
Do you like football? Do you like football, man?
I love football.
You want to go to Hooters?
I was just about to say, you want to get a fucking get out of my head, Kyle.
Go to Hooters, get some wings.
Want to get a Corona? You're too young.
Oh, dude. But no, this is what I said last week. He's never going to do that because he gets to be amazing football genius guy that, like, he was fired with a winning record. He won a Super Bowl. He's, like, regarded as an offensive. Like, he's got it all. He's got it all right now. All he could do is just tarnish his reputation
for
coming back. I tell you what, man. All he could do is tarnish his reputation at this point.
Outside of Bill Belichick, the best coaches or the highest revered coaches don't have jobs.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, because they don't talk shit. They just work.
That's why Phil Jackson's a great coach. What's he doing now? He's not
talking
coaching anymore.
Shit now, actually.
He's not coaching anymore.
No, but it's true.
Pat Riley, great coach. No,
He's running
the Miami. He's not coaching them.
He's not coming back. Gruden's not coming back, dude. Yeah. If he does, it's so easy for ESPN to just find another jabroni to hire because the NFL is so popular.
They should totally hire Tony Romo. I'm just saying.
Tony Romo's the shit, dude. I love
him. Put him in the Monday Night Booth.
You know they've told him, like, tone it down? Like, tone down? Like,
stop calling
plays,
yeah.
Fuck you. Like, that's the best part.
I would love to have Peyton Manning calling a game.
I would not.
It would be super.
I kind of would, yeah.
I never found Peyton Manning charming or funny.
You know, they've been talking about Peyton going into, like, politics or something.
Fuck you.
Like, I love Peyton, dude. You grew up in the wrong time. Nick and I grew up when we were watching, like, it was all Peyton Manning commercials. Now you got your Dak Prescott.
I like the thing
kids.
He did on SNL with the kids.
Your Cam Newtons and being surprised with him in no reps. Yeah.
Where he's beaming the kids. Oh, God, that was great. Okay.
He tells him to run a route, and the kid runs a route.
Wait,
like,
before we end it, anything else we're disappointed with?
We got to get keys to the game, don't we?
Oh, no.
We're going to beat
the
Jets.
I really don't like this segment.
All right.
We got to get some keys to the game, right?
So I have a key to the game right off the bat.
All right, hold on. We got keys to the game. What's your key to the game?
My key to the game is, just like in the olden days, Josh McCown has to be the best player for the other team.
Safari Jenkins is coming back.
What he's going to do, he's going to play against us this time. And our defense is going to pick him off because Josh McCown's always the best player on the other team. We're the other team this week. And Fitzpatrick usually wrecks house when he goes back to his old-timey stomping grounds.
It's classic Bucks. That is also a classic Bucks play to let a former QB just destroy him, like steamroll him. That's classic Bucks. Come on. Yeah, how long have you motherfuckers been a Bucks fan that you don't know that when your old QB comes back, he's gonna fucking destroy you? It happened with Vinny Testaverde.
We have it two
happened
times
with Trent
week.
Dilfer. It happened with fucking who else? Who about
Kyle? Key to the game.
Key to the game is we gotta take off our shirts. We got to take off our shirts. We got to get on that goddamn beach. We got to play some fucking volleyball, my friends. And we got to beat Iceman and whoever his wingman is. Jets, Top Gun. That's the thing. It's
Jets are Top Gun.
That was the joke. That's the joke I was going for. Goose! You're key of the game, Anthony.
Negative Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
I hate all of you. We're not funny enough for this segment, okay? We're not. We're
Ghost
not.
Rat, ghosts,
especially when we don't prepare for it and you give me 2 minutes to think of something.
Key to the game.
You got to go last, man. You should have the best one.
No.
All right. Anthony's key to the game is that he's going to have to we're going to have to get Wayne Krabet back on the offense.
Green Lantern it up.
Yeah. The Jets were good for a year, actually. Buff football, et cetera.
This just completely kills the flow of the show every week.
You could have got a whole Jets defense gag in there, you know, where they're dancing around the defense. We're going to have to let it go. Let it go.
It just kills the flow, bro.
I know. That's what I like about it, though.
So bad. Such a bad segment.
It's a good segment to segue into other talk.
There's nothing funny about the New York Jets that hasn't been said 18,000 times.
I thought I did give us my Top Gun reference.
I mean,
it was great.
Yeah.
He's a party pooper.
Hey, dude, I'm sorry you can't come up with the key to the game, but
I never can. Not for football.
Well, maybe think about that next time.
Well, next time, just go with, hey, you know what? We got to run the ball real well. We got to win the battle at the offensive line.
We got to win the turnover battle.
Yeah, got to win the turnover battle. Next time, do that. That's your real key to the game.
We'll run on first down so we can pass.
Oh, my God. Butt fumble joke. Oh, my God.
Yeah, here.
Go Jets.
Here, real key to the game. Ryan Fitzpatrick has to limit the turnovers. Whoa! You mean like he has to do every game to win? Fucking A. Like, key to the game, every game. Win the turnover battle every game? Okay. That's your key to the game.
Sorry. So Kucherov.
Yeah, so Sergachev.
That's my segue.
I hear you.
Russian line.
I hear you and Sergachev are bros now.
So I had a brush with greatness.
It's greatness now. How's Druid doing, by the way?
He's doing all right.
He's doing all right.
He had to take his pants off on the bench because he rubbed too much icy hot on himself the other night. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Okay. Let's look that up. Continue. By the way, Sergachev.
So I was at Best Buy. Mm-hmm. It was close to the vacuums, and I'm kind of walking down the aisle, and there's this big, rather large dude, like with his back turned to me, talking to a salesman about a vacuum, and they're kind of blocking the aisle. And it's almost that awkward thing where, like, you don't want to, like, shuffle in between somebody.
Right.
You just want to be like, excuse me, you know. So I'm like, excuse me, sir. And he turns. And it took me a second. But I was like, I know that face. And it was Sergachev.
Oh, like 19 years of him.
19, and he's a big dude. And I was like, and I, like, froze because I was like, oh, my God. Like, the Lightning player. Was right here, and he just said words came
Hello.
Out of his face hole and said them words. To me.
I am Mikolai.
Yeah,
my name is Mikolai.
And the worst thing is, like, I couldn't think of anything to say, so I just kept walking. And I was
as it was at your place of business, I would say that's a good call.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was.
I was drafted
I was
by Canadians.
Uniform, so and like.
By the Russia will count.
I almost took my phone out. And was like, hey, can we like take a picture real quick? But like, it's so weird, man.
No picture.
Yet.
You have, yeah.
Smacks the phone out of his hands.
I don't know, man.
You
like,
come to a game, you take a picture.
All right, question. What's the proper etiquette when you run into a celebrity?
So I met Mike Allstott when I was working for Target, and I treated him like every other customer because I knew
I guess it really depends on the situation. When they're eating, I would never fuck with him.
He had his kids with him.
That too. All right. So situations that you wouldn't approach. Eating. I wouldn't fuck with them if they're eating at table, especially
right.
with their family.
Correct.
When you're working.
It's not smart.
It's not a good idea. It just isn't.
Well, no. Look.
I think it depends on your job.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're like a concierge at a hotel, then yeah, go for it.
No, even then, like if you're respectful about it, if, like your concierge is like, oh, Mr. Allstott, hi, it's so nice to meet you. Like I'm a big fan of yours. Like just say something like that.
Big fan of yours.
Continue to be.
Can I help you with
yeah.
With their family.
Not be like, oh, bro, hey, yo, yeah. Let's get a set.
Their family is always like a
family is always a thing. Like I'm not gonna like butt into your family.
No, he's not Mike Allstott right there. He's dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. Or you know, you could maybe say something like, hey, Mr. Allstott, but like. But I totally know what you guys mean because I've done that as well. Like when I saw Matt Moore, I was like, hey.
Yeah.
He just pitched a great game too. Is that he had literally just pitched
you
that?
You had
that
the
day.
Best chance to meet him though. You had a completely neutral site.
He was there with his
sidewalk.
Dog.
Yeah.
I had a dog. Like it was.
You literally could have told him to fuck off. No, nothing could have happened.
I chickened out. I was just like, hey. No. Actually, I was just like heading. I was like.
Well, you just
I
start
had
thinking
the TP
like
hat. He knows. He knew. I fucking knew it.
You start thinking like, what do I say not to be an idiot? What do I say not to be an idiot? And then like most of the time when that happens to me, I just say nothing.
Yeah, I just
like
say nothing.
Because anything that comes out of my mouth is gonna be like, hey, like,
yeah. I fucking love you.
Yeah.
I watch you on TV.
I just say, you know, a really respectful thing is appreciate what you do for the community.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
I thought about saying like go Bolts or something.
Nah,
he doesn't give a fuck. He's getting paid by them. It's like that's like saying go Best Buy to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he goes go Best Buy. Yeah.
Well, I just think he's like he's so young and new. Like he obviously doesn't get recognized a lot, probably, in the community. I wouldn't think so. A Russian defenseman.
Yeah. I mean, can it so
like if okay Stamkos. Probably gets recognized.
Appreciation.
Hedman probably gets recognized.
Ladies don't recognize me in Yibor. Don't like
Yibor,
it.
Yibor.
They don't
actually,
love me
no,
in
he
in
actually,
Yibor.
Like, the little bit I heard him talk, he didn't really have that heavy an accent.
No, because
he has very heavy
American
accent.
Juniors.
Yeah.
That's what he wants us to believe.
He's a spy.
He is very much spy.
He very much double sleeper agent.
Very double sleeper agent. Much love for Putin. Take out Americans.
But, so, did you sell him a vacuum, or did you just walk off?
I wasn't. I'm not. I don't work in the store.
Fucked
I work
off.
For Best Buy.
No, Anthony doesn't even work for Best Buy.
I know. He contracted.
For the sake of the story, we've changed all names.
Yeah.
To different store names. Dude, I can't blame you because I don't. I think I would do the same thing. Because I've been in that situation. I'm just like, huh?
Yes.
I just don't know what to say.
Well, not like okay. So like he has his back turned to me when I walked up to him. So I could have said. Anything to him that I would say to anybody else, like, excuse me, sir, you know, but like, no, so I say, but like, if I was facing him and I'd be like, excuse me, sir, like, it's okay.
Okay. Do you guys want to talk about the team on the ice? We're still kicking ass.
Oh, yeah.
They don't play till 10:30 again.
So.
West Coast
can I tell you?
Terrible.
I know everybody in this room probably saw that article on the Four Letter Network. I actually read it. It was cool.
About what?
About what?
What are the odds of a 50-goal scorer in 50 games?
Oh,
And the leading candidate is Kucherov because he has 14
Kucherov
and 15
is dominating.
Games. So they're saying that the last three guys to do it were Gretzky, Lemieux, and I forget. But one thing they all three of them had in common was they had a passer that was an elite playmaker.
Uh-huh.
Mark Messier was to Gretzky as Stamkos is to Kucherov.
So you think he's like the...
He's the linchpin.
That line is so good.
Nemestikov is getting no pub for being arguably the fourth or fifth best player in the league. Because... He's one making these setups.
Well, but the thing is, like, he's not a passenger.
No,
like, he's
exactly.
Controlling
he's
controlling the puck. Like,
yeah.
Well, he's going
yeah.
The dirty corners. The puck flies out when he goes in there because he goes in there with reckless abandonment.
That dude, that I can't, like, all right, we thought that obviously the run that the triplets had when they were together was fantastic.
It came together at the right time, too.
Right.
Yeah.
But this seems way more sustainable than that. Because you've got two of the best offensive players in the league,
yep.
And then a really good complementary player for both of them who does the dirty work, who gets the pucks out of the corner. Like,
plus you have a guy on the line on the ice always to step in for a fight, so neither of your superstars have to really defend themselves.
And it's just, it's so good. Stamkos and Kucherov have built such a chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to be this guy, but it just makes you wonder... What had happened if Cooper had actually let Druin stay on that line?
Oh, Lordy.
Like,
there's too many stars for the puck. Nobody would have been happy.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's
are lines like that
drowning.
Ever... Are those, like, you got the three best players on the team on the same line? Is that like, a thing that happens in the NHL a lot?
No, because best the Pittsburgh ever did when they won their cups is when Malkin was on the second line and Sidney Crosby was on the first.
All right, make no mistake about it. Nemestikov would not, obviously, because math, would not have the same numbers that he has right now if he was playing with Brown and guys like that
Correct.
Again.
I'll give you that.
Talent-wise, I would say that points better than Vladdy.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I would agree. Playmaker-wise, all the way, yeah.
Vladdy this year has been incredible.
Mm-hmm. He's playing above his
But make no
level.
Mistake about it, it's mostly due to the people he's playing with. He's not a passenger, but he can't create for idiots, let's just say, grinders. Like, a Kucherov could... You could put Kucherov with Brown...
And Callahan. And they
wouldn't be nearly as effective, but Kucherov would definitely boost their offensive numbers.
Right, absolutely. Like, their plus-minus would go up, at least.
But when you put three guys together... two of which are probably elitely skilled, and then a very good player on the same line. This is what you get. If they gel well, this is what you get.
Yeah.
Refresh my memory. Who's our right wing on the fourth line, number 29?
They were playing 11-7 right now last night. That's why it says
Slater. Slater Cuckoo.
Got it. Yeah. I thought so. Got
He's
it.
not a
foot. So Yanni Gourde. Yanni
Gourde is a fucking rabid chihuahua.
What you
great.
Were saying about how Namestnikov isn't this, like, he doesn't up everybody's talent level on the line like Kucherov or Stamkos does. But he's no schlup. Like, Yanni Gourde has a, like, he sticks his nose in places he has no business going.
Dude, that, I, it's pretty well known on Twitter, but, and everybody you talk to about that kid Gree's like, he will kill you for a puck. it's nuts. Like, that guy's forecheck.
High motor.
That forecheck is relentless. Yeah. Like, it's. Like,
he plays a lot taller, too. He's a smaller
he's
guy.
He's getting, like, elbowed and, like, hip checked and all that. He's like, fuck you, man. Like, it's like that's my puck. I love that. And right. him and Point and Palat, that line is a forechecking nightmare. Like,
what's your review of Dan Girardi so far this year?
He's not nearly as accident prone as everybody made him out to be.
His advanced statistics are still shit. Make no mistake about it.
Now Anthony's Mr. Advanced Stats guy when it goes to support his type of fuck you. Fucking
well,
Yanni
Gourde. No, my calculations.
Okay,
have...
let me say this.
His wedge over.
They claimed before the season that they were going to play him with Hedman.
Yeah.
They haven't done that, thankfully.
Thank you. Yeah.
So his minutes are being kept low, which is fine. If you keep his minutes low, he's probably, like I've always said about defensemen, the lower you keep the minutes, the more effective they're likely to be. Huh. It's only the elite ones that can play big minutes.
Is Kunin scratched?
No, he's on the third line, I think. Who? They shuffle around the bottom six because when you play with 11 forwards, you have to.
Can you go up a little?
To who?
He's right there on the left wing on the third line.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, but they shuffle. Like, Kucherov will take a shift with that line, or, like, that's what you do when you play 11. So
granted. Yeah. I mean, and having Brown back there playing with Killorn and Stamkos, his old line partner, that's like having a different number one.
Where Dan Girardi is going to be an issue is when we get to the playoffs and he's they like can't match him up with the shitty lines.
Yeah.
Like, in the regular season, it's much easier to be like, all right, shift Girardi now, and, like, he's out there playing against, like, the fourth line. So it's a lot easier to manage. But when you get to the playoffs, especially deep, everybody's got, like, at least three scoring lines.
Yeah, but he's been there. That's also an advantage.
Been there, and you can still play there are two different things.
Correct.
Okay, you can be there all you want. You could, oh, I've been here. Brendan Morrow had been there, but he was shitty. Like, that, being there, been there is good for the locker room and the bench.
Fair
it's
enough.
Not good for the ice.
So can I, so.
If you can't play anymore.
The next question to Kyle, you know, had, I want to know, what's your review of Kunitz?
He's what he is. He's not what he used to be, but he's better. I mean, he's been okay.
Greater than or equal to, greater than, less than, or equal to Ryan Callahan?
Greater than because he doesn't have an enormous contract.
Okay,
so I can deal with 1 year, $2 million, and you being a grinder because you'll be gone next year anyway, and it won't matter. Mm-hmm. But Callahan's getting paid 5.8.
Oh,
bro.
By the way, friend of the show, Boyle made his.
He came back.
First return
after
to
cancer.
So congratulations to him. Really happy. He's one
was
of those.
He playing?
Yeah, he's one of those NHL awesome. Good guys.
Yeah, luckily. Yeah. Luckily they caught it super early and they were able.
Right,
to. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and it helps. He was in peak physical fucking condition.
Yeah,
like, he's loved around the NHL. He's good. He's just like
he's just a good guy.
I miss him. I miss him terribly. I would have much rather kept him than brought in Kunitz, but what are you going to do? He wanted more money than Kunitz did.
Yeah. Thank you. And having Kunitz allows me to have my Kucherov and my Stamkos. I'm happy.
Can you do it? Can you do a lightning keys of the game against the Keys?
Or the, for what? The Kings?
The Kings. For Kings. Oh, there's something I will say to watch out for this game. If Quick is in net, because he has
he's
been
a baby,
lately,
by the way,
he's been throwing fucking tantrums and grabbing what he face washed Corey Perry into the ice.
Okay, Corey Perry's an asshole.
Granted, granted, but he did it while Corey Perry was also engaged with another guy. So it was like, maybe not pick on the guy that's already got a fight partner.
Yeah.
Don't be a bitch.
Dude, this West Coast trip like started off great last night. By the way, I kind of like not what because I didn't watch the full game last night because I had to get up in the morning.
Oh yeah, me either. Yeah, yeah.
I went to bed. It was 1-1. I woke up 5-1. I was like, right.
But that I was gonna say, like, it's cool to wake up and be like, like loading your score app, like
watching the highlights.
Well,
yeah.
I would say like this time of year, like usually when it gets later in the season, you, like where you're kind of like I have this thing where I'll go to bed. And like I'll dream of like a team winning or losing. I'm like, I can't sleep, so I have to like get up and check and be like, all right, fuck, they lost because fuck.
Like, I will say that I do make that mistake very often, like in the middle of the night. Well, recently with Ben, I'll check on the score. Usually it's my fantasy team, but I'll probably do it with hockey tonight. Be like, oh god damn it.
Yep. Like Monday night.
I'm a Bucks fan. I'm just assuming.
Oh no, the Thursday night game against the Patriots. I turned it off like midway second half. So like I was like, fuck this. Went to bed, but I still had dreams in my sleep. Like, what if we won? What if we won? So like I woke up, we lost. Fuck.
That's one of the worst things is taking a Sunday afternoon nap after a 1 o'clock loss, dreaming they won, waking up in a good mood, and then coming down to reality in a bad mood.
That's the best though. Still, when like Sunday afternoon naps where it's like it's the late game, it's second quarter, you're like, ugh. Well, this is our fourth quarter. Yeah, fourth quarter.
It's the Sunday night game. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah. Doop, doop, doo, 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 fuck.
And then you're like, oh, God. So the number one would love to punch in the face. Chris.
Collinsworth.
Collinsworth is the Sunday night game, and I hate him so goddamn much.
I don't think Collinsworth. I used to think Collinsworth was the worst until. I really started paying attention to Phil Simms and how fucking terrible he was. Now, just like
I saw a comic about Chris Collinsworth, where he's like, "Hey, you know Jimmy Graham was?" It's like some dude there, and he was like,
"Hey, you know Jimmy Graham played basketball?"
Yeah. And he's like, "Did you know Jimmy Graham was?" And the guy's like, "Don't fucking say it, Chris." Mm-hmm. He's like, "Did you know Jimmy Graham played college basketball?" And he's like, "Ah, like
I just
so good,
like that man. I hate him and his." Sports commentating more than I enjoy Gene Deckerhoff's.
Gene Deckerhoff
is slipping
real fucking bad. I like how it's almost like, have you ever like had a video buffer and then all of a sudden it catches up?
Yeah,
that's what Gene Deckerhoff. It's like tap down.
Like, he's so lucky he doesn't do it with TV, at the same time because people are like, "What are you fucking?"
When
seeing?
He starts doing numbers, I'm like, "Gene, stop!" Like, yeah. I the 45 to the 40, to the 35 to the 20, to the 10. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Chris Collinsworth.
When he calls it fumble and he.
Looks like we came up with well.
Or when an interception gets thrown into traffic, but the receiver's caught, picked. Like
the elongated syllables doesn't help, man.
Chris Collinsworth, here's a guy.
He went to UF, man.
Yeah, my father-in-law shared a doobie with him in college.
So nice.
That's my father-in-law's claim to fame.
But it was a good sandwich.
Yeah, it was. I don't know, man.
Chris Collinsworth.
I just fucking.
Nice, Kyle. We can't hear
you. Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys can't hear. Sorry.
Well, this
was a little ball. He looks old, man. He's looking old.
He's old as fuck. Get out of here, bitch.
Wow. Like, I remember when he was young and, like, to young guys now. He's like, that's one of those. He's like, that's Pat Summerall to some people. I used to think Pat Summerall was old as fuck, and then he died, and I was like, Chris Collinsworth, who's this young guy talking, hey, Buccaneers.
He's Al Michaels to a lot of people, and that's sad, because Al Michaels was so much better.
They need to put Matt Vasgersian on more things, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know why he isn't on more things.
Like, Santa Maria!
I'll never forget the way Chris Collinsworth called this game here. The game at Veterans Stadium against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Do you remember that first drive? They just punched us right in the mouth. Yeah,
Deuce Staley just fuck you. Fuck
after
you.
After a long kickoff return, yeah.
And then from this point on, Chris Collinsworth, well, until JoJo Vicious ran it up the field, Chris Collinsworth was like, the Buccaneers.
You go, Joe. You go, Joe.
And also, Joe Buck is the fucking worst at football because all he's like.
His forehead gets bigger every year.
Dude, that dude has no emotion.
Well, no, he's like one of the greatest baseball announcers to ever live. I think he's up there.
He's
with
just
his,
that bad.
He's up there
at
with
football.
His dad. But like he announces football like baseball. Like in baseball, like you could be like LaGoria, like home run.
Because there's
knows.
No play going on. Then it's
so
just
like crack of the bat, bam. That's all you want to see. But like when there's a big play happening, all he says is
breaks it loose.
Yeah, no, he'll just say their last name. He'll just be like. Winston, end zone.
What?
That's what he does.
Rodgers with the bomb.
Yeah,
and then
over the middle,
dude. Joe Buck could not do radio football because you would never know what happened.
That's all he does. Next time you hear it,
Winston
listen.
Throws it deep. And you're just like sitting there and sound like, what? What happened, Joe? Like,
yeah.
Did it hit by a bird?
Yeah.
Literally, listen to this. Maybe
it's the future Bucks coach.
I don't know if you guys can hear this or not. Like here,
no, we can.
I'll put this to the outside, but like, listen to the way he calls the run back, like the historic run back by Brian Mitchell.
I can't hear it, bro.
Fuck, I'm just gonna.
Why are you even wearing headphones?
Yeah, what are you doing? So I can monitor you guys.
Keep you fucking kids in line, Kyle. It's
Mitchell.
Not working at all.
Mitchell.
Is that Jackson right there?
No, it's
literally Brian Mitchell returns it for what 75 yards and all. He's a Mitchell.
I remember my grandfather saying, "Oh, we're done."
I walked outside after that.
Yeah,
walked on my dad's porch.
We can't beat him, bro.
Didn't want, I fucking hate my life. That's what I used to think I knew what bad times were. I was like, the Eagles are beating us in the championship game.
My life sucks.
Right. Turns out we're going to be on our fifth different fucking head. Anyways, I don't know.
Oh, you hate life now, do you, Kyle?
Yeah.
Just wait.
Yeah, just fucking wait.
How did... we went off on this Collinsworth rant for all it was worth.
We sure did. Anything else, guys?
No, Rays still suck.
Bam, bam,
did we talk about the new stadium site with you, Nick?
Ebor?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
Cool. It's not going to happen, but cool.
Yeah, nothing going to...
Who's going to pay for it? Let me play Kyle. Who's going to pay for it?
Mr. Derek Brooks.
$163.
Yeah. Help us. Well, actually, we'd be lucky if we get a different Derek and Mr. Jeter.
Didn't he already buy the Marlins?
He bought the Marlins,
He's
I believe.
A partial owner here. You showed me where a rule is you can't own two teams in the same sport because it's in there.
It's there. I've seen it. The next little known time as quarter owner of the New Orleans Pelicans.
I only owned a quarter.
I still can't believe that's a real team.
I literally only owned 25 cents worth.
It was a crazy night in Vegas or in New Orleans. I won a bet.
They wouldn't even let me at the stadium.
It was pretty cool though.
I still can't believe that's a real team.
Yeah. That's the thing. Pelicans?
There's some teams out like what's a team that you go, wait, that's an actual team? Like what's a team for like Winnipeg does
up until
that
last
for me.
Year, the Predators,
Nashville,
yeah.
Winnipeg does that to me, like
Arizona
the Winnipeg
Coyote,
Jets
or the Phoenix, Arizona Coyotes.
Jacksonville's weird. If I didn't live in Florida,
yeah,
like Jacksonville would be super weird because they have no other teams.
It's Jaguars,
yeah.
We're in Jacksonville, I'm sure there's a few in basketball that I'm not aware of. Baseball, not really.
The Charlotte Hornets,
yeah, Charlotte, yeah. But like they're capitalizing on the whole college football.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, that's a weird
They
one.
Were relevant for a little bit there.
Yeah,
but
they're relevant, but they're the only ones in Oklahoma City.
That's what I'm saying. If, like, say for the last 5 years, I'd probably be like, Oklahoma City.
Right.
Yeah.
New York City!
All right, guys. If you want to hear the three of us, if you want to hear our rankings of the Avenger movies.
Marvel movies.
Or, yeah, Marvel
MCU movies.
Stay tuned for the end of the show. because we're going to do that.
A little extra for you today.
Yeah, because we don't have anything else.
We might start
about.
Doing that more. Little extra thing at the end of the show.
I like that. That was fun.
Yeah.
I was like trying to keep it concise and short, but like I totally could. I would have liked to have just let it go the whole goddamn hour. I could have done an hour on that. Easy.
We've kicked around the idea of doing some podcasts on other things since our Shark Dropper overlords decided we were no longer worthy.
It's not just that. It's just that Shark Dropper is really not a thing anymore.
No, it's not.
It's liquidated.
Yeah. It's not like Shark Dropper dropped us.
Well, it's nice to know that we lasted longer than it and started before it.
All right, hot takery. I think out of all the shows that Shark Dropper did, and they did, you guys did a lot of good ones. I think Word of the Bay had the most consistency and passion behind it. To be quite honest with you,
well, I don't know about that. That's your opinion, but like I saw the work that went into the other shows.
For a long time, Horror Play was funny as hell. There was high editing into it.
Yeah.
It was like you guys were prepared for shows. I miss Horror Play.
Well, I'm talking about Doppel and Paralyzed. Those are great shows.
I'm excluding those just regular podcasts.
Oh.
I think Word of the Bay was the most consistent.
Oh, yeah.
Nonfiction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so.
No, because I know how much editing and voice acting and all it went into all
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
that's
think,
what
yeah.
No, I'm not discrediting any of that.
To the other side. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think right. That's... Yeah, I don't know. I'm talking any shit. But I
I'm
think
not talking shit. Like, I'm just saying.
It's fine. He doesn't listen to Word of the Bay.
I love him. Fuck you. I love Robert. I still text him all the time. And
I love him too. I just,
yeah.
I'm not talking shit.
He does not listen to this show.
Oh, yeah. No, he doesn't. Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
Even if he did, I wouldn't give a fuck about what
fuck
he heard.
You,
what I said. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for listening. He's like, at this point, you would never fail it. It's like, I've known you guys
ball
long enough.
Ball predictions.
Ball predictions.
The Bucks win this week.
Holy shit. That is actually, fuck, you kind of took mine. The Bolts. Sweep the West Coast trip.
Ooh, I like that one. We'll find out tonight if that remains.
Sweep the West Coast. Kings and
Bold
Ducks.
Prediction, Cobb signs his offer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we didn't talk
nice.
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Is it time to trade Longoria?
Yeah. He's got the most value. He's a gold glover.
Because soon that downhole slope's going to start coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a trade deadline
but
guy
to
now.
To say this much, third base is a little forgiving of a position for when it comes to a guy who's a little long in the tooth.
Dude, could you imagine, though?
I wish Anaheim had some good prospects because he would totally want to go there. Anaheim. Yeah.
He's playing third base on the Yankees, though. I'm not quite sure.
According to me, it's probably Aaron Judge.
A million
that guy
years.
Plays.
Yeah, eventually Aaron Judge is going to be playing first base.
It was Chase Headley.
I'm
for
too
a while.
Big to be out there. They won't let me play.
Exactly. If Judge keeps if Judge keeps hitting
and
like
taking
home
those
runs
horse
like he does,
steroids, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be playing first
Dude,
base pretty soon.
He's like, look at his fucking Cro-Magnon brow.
Oh,
yeah, he's
totally clean. Yeah,
fuck you.
No, dude, Longoria would be a great piece for somebody. Like trade deadline.
That was close to a championship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he'd I'd almost be okay with that, especially if it was
dream
like
scenario for me. Astros third baseman goes down. We trade for some of their prospects. Longoria gets to win a back to back World Series with the Astros.
Longoria is, in my book, the king of. I'm okay with you going somewhere else and getting.
He
a
deserves
ring.
Something. Yeah.
He deserves it, man. Like
he's never gonna get it
as
here.
As much as Carl Crawford deserves some good things. Him, Longoria is that much more.
He's totally the guy that probably plays out most of his contract, and with a year or two left, is like, mm-hmm. Hey, like the team's
God,
kind of in a ditch right
I
now.
I wish that upon him because he's going to be the guy that is like Vinny and Marty. Like they're just going to stay here. He's
number
stay
three
here.
Is going to be retired.
And don't trade him to a fringe. Trade him to someone who's got a real shot.
Do not trade him to somebody in the goddamn division.
Yeah.
I know. I hate to see
AKA
that.
AKA Beckham.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that's right. Anyways.
Oh, dude, can you imagine Evan Longoria, the Boston Red Sox? I'd be so upset.
I used to think that was what was going to happen. I thought for sure that's what I feared
was going to happen.
Every Yankees fan was like, we got a replacement for A-Rod once he becomes a free agent.
Yeah,
they did say that. They were bragging about how they're going to poach him.
Yeah.
And it was like, to know that your friends think that and it's a legitimate fear, be like,
And they signed. I was like, "Fuck you! We're not gonna win anything."
But
we kept Longoria.
Yeah. I will say, like that whole hockey thing. Well, I think Anthony had talked about it a few weeks ago, like how the hockey, like the Toronto fans, are like,
just automatically
they're coming home. They're coming home. Yeah, like, that's what like Yankee fans are kind of like that. We're like, bro, him and CC had dinner last week.
So coming to the champions. Yeah,
it's happening.
You know what the funny thing is?
Yo, Gina took him out. He took him out in somewhere in Tampa. I saw it happen.
You know the funniest one's going to be? And it's going to be a complete troll, but you know where Austin Matthews is from, right?
No.
Arizona.
Oh.
So when his contract comes up, he's going home, bro.
He's going home, bro.
And it'll be from Toronto, which will be even better.
You know what I love? The Tampa Bay area is a destination now, at least in hockey.
Yeah, they got the women's. What is it? The
All-Star Games is here this year,
which
like,
is gonna have a fucking dark cloud over it because of the Olympics, which sucks. But
I'm saying the.
You see the entire first
be a
line.
Lot of unhappy
you see
people.
The entire first line in the All-Star break. Or
there's like a women's NCAA championship or something. Or no, the women's
the women's Olympics
team USA
yeah.
team. Yeah, it's gonna play like Sweden and a couple other teams.
And we always have Frozen Fours down here.
Yeah. I always go back to it, man. But it's not only that the team is successful on the ice, but Amalie is a great place to be.
Yeah, it is,
and that helps with consistently drawing crowds for everything that goes on.
There is something it is bad at. Its acoustics are awful at concerts.
Yeah, that's what I've heard that. Yeah,
because it comes at so many angles, you're just like. Can't find a spot where I'm not hearing it in two different.
It's hard to get good acoustics in arenas.
I'm going to see the Foo Fighters.
Sounds great as a hockey arena.
The Foo Fighters are going to be at the amphitheater.
Yeah, I'm going to see them. Can't wait. I got to sit in the lawn, but whatever.
Those tickets sold out.
Little
quick.
Tidbit because we won't be on since the next time. Make you feel really old. My 2-year wedding anniversary is coming up.
Oh, yeah, do that. Yeah.
That's insane.
Is that the good news that you were talking about? You said something about like the 11th through the 17th or something like that early in the show.
Oh, yeah, I forget.
Oh, no, Vegas hockey, remember?
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was the show. That was War of the Bay, right? Mm-hmm. We're done?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're done.
All right, cool. I am Kyle.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Anthony.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
This MCU.
Do we want to leave? I think we end the show with that.
No, let's just start it. I'll put it at the end.
Can I introduce the show?
Yeah,
you can.
I'll key you in. Iron Man.
The first one?
First one. I give that one 4 stars.
I agree with that. 4 stars.
4 and 5, right?
Yeah, that was a great, solid movie.
Are we talking?
Oh, we're talking.
Oh, solid, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
A bad movie.
I didn't know.
A bad, or not a bad movie, a concept that everybody thought was going to be bad, but they made it good.
Right. And they thought, you know, you got to remember, at that point in time, Robert Downey Jr. was, like, his name was Sidney Mudd.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had not the shit.
It was the most perfect casting, too.
Got to work out the spikes and nicks.
We sort of jumped into it. We didn't do any
sound
checks.
That's okay. This is what this segment's for. Incredible Hulk.
This is the lead-in segment?
Incredible Hulk,
well,
I say.
He's going to put it at the end.
Oh, cool. This is the
Edward Norton
Edward
one.
Norton
this
one.
Is literally considered part of the MCU, and he didn't play the Hulk.
I'll do it a 3.
Avengers.
Give it a 3.
That was 2 for me. I hated it.
I would actually be in between that. I would 2.5. It was a movie.
Oh, come on. The end where he's like.
No, it was a movie.
What is it? It doesn't matter what your name is. Something like that.
Well, they actually allude to that movie in another Marvel Universe movie.
They did. And Robert Downey Jr. was in the Hulk.
Last time I was in Brooklyn, I kind of broke Harlem.
Yeah, dude. Edward Norton was supposed to be the Hulk in all these movies, but instead, Mark Ruffalo, which I prefer.
I think that was a happy mistake.
Iron Man 2. I give it a 1.
That's
solid,
a 1.
Solid
a terrible.
1.
They figured out they had something good, and they rushed to make a sequel, and it was terrible.
I'm going to go with a solid 2. Because it was still...
It's still
Iron
Robert
Man movies,
Jr.
I'll say this much before we get to the next movie. Iron Man movies were everything, if not pretty.
Was this the Christmas one, or was it the...
No, this is the one where the...
The guy
new,
with the electric...
No, what's his name?
The wrestler.
Brody changed.
Mickey Rourke.
Also, Rhodes changed.
Oh, from Terrence West... Or to Terrence West's...
No.
Or no, Terrence from Terrence West to... what's his face?
I don't remember who played War Machine.
Hotel Rwanda.
Yeah.
What's his name? Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. Thank you. Good save.
Thor, I give a one. I mean,
the first Thor.
Yeah,
I liked it.
It was a 2.5.
Yeah,
three. I liked it. I always liked the fish out of water story because it can make for some funny moments.
Thor has yet to make a good
back
movie.
And he slams
what
glasses.
Is this?
Like
the coffee?
Smash!
Yeah. No, it's stupid. It's so dumb. It doesn't make sense. I don't. I just wasn't. All I wasn't, right, into, it. Wasn't into it.
Almost all because of the perfect casting of Thor with Chris Hemsworth.
That was great.
Yeah.
The reason I think I like most of these Marvel movies is because all the characters are, yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Captain America. I'll give that first Avenger, the first one. I give that a good 2.
That's,
I liked
that's
it.
That's a 1.5.
It was a good bad movie. It's
I'm with you, Kyle.
It was a normal bad movie.
I'm with you, Kyle. It was a 2. They didn't know what to do with them.
This was the push into the Avengers.
It's
like,
really hard to make Captain America interesting by himself because it's just a dude.
Everybody
that can
thought
run
that
fast.
About Iron Man as well. And
no,
you know, like,
they didn't because
Marvel put the fucking work in, man. Bad movie, good movie. They put the years in to assemble
them.
They earned the Avengers movie. I'm like DC was like, oh,
just saying. As an aside, I heard that movie is under 2 hours and they tell 3 origin stories.
Oh,
the Flash,
Christ.
Aquaman,
no. Oh, that's, oh.
Let's see.
Well, from what I hear, the Flash, they basically
Cyborg.
Expect you to know the CW44 version.
What the fuck is that? That's not a tie-in.
All right,
Avengers. Avengers,
five.
I give like a 4.5.
Five.
If not 5, yeah.
Perfect movie.
Good movie. Great movie.
Well, the first 10 minutes.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it was a 4, just because of how good some of the other installments are.
So dude, that ending fight scene, I can watch that fight scene over and over.
It's on TV
it's
all
so
the time.
Good.
I'm just, I always, it, whenever it's on, I'm like, I'll just watch this. It's
so
like,
good.
It's good.
The way they start working together and all that. Oh,
yeah, so especially, good. Yeah. And then the whole, of course, the Hulk, where he's like,
that's
I'm always
secret,
angry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Punches the worm.
Yeah. Iron Man 3, like a 1.
Yeah,
I didn't like it.
Stupid.
Yeah, Thor.
Okay, there's a group of people that do like that movie.
I enjoyed how they were like, you know what? This is our third installment. Everybody knows Iron Man shit. And this is him being, he was exposed to be a flawed person.
Yeah.
Like, he his machine disobeyed him.
I guess.
Fucking, it landed in Kentucky.
But the whole, like, extremist so thing, and it's like, okay, is Gwyneth Paltrow now a superhero? Or, like, what's going on? And then, like, she.
That was actually the end of Pepper. She hasn't been in anything since the new one,
She was in that. Homecoming. I
yeah,
think.
She was in Homecoming briefly.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. What is it? Thor: Dark World. Fucking half a star.
Yeah.
I didn't like that movie at all. All
right. What happened with that one is the first one's magic of seeing Thor on the big screen wore off. And then we just had a shitty movie. Yeah.
It's a terrible movie. Tom Hiddleston like comes back and's like, "Hey, I'm psych, I'm not dead."
What?
What's your number?
Oh, 1.
Yeah, like a half. I'm gonna give it a half. Here, Nick, do it. Tap your mic for a second. Yeah. Wait, give me it. Here, let me see.
Tap.
I'm gonna switch it to 1. That's what's gonna happen. Nick's getting switched to 1.
Bye, guys.
All right, Nick's back.
Hi, guys. I'm Nick 1.
Oh, that's much better.
Nick 3 was a bitch.
What's next? Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
4.
Yeah.
Solid 4.
I'd say that's
four
almost up there with the Avengers.
That
4.5.
Genuinely good movie.
The choreography in that movie.
Well, that and the introduction of the Winter Soldier.
Ooh. Oh, Bucky!
Bucky
was that guy's just a badass.
And the spawning
of—he's only
the
a superhero on one side.
The spawning
of
millions of fanfics everywhere.
Holy! Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's okay.
I've checked a few out. They're fucking weird.
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Gay fanfics.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Dude. Yeah.
Oh, Bucky and Captain America.
Rule 47. Rule
34.
Rule 34.
Yeah.
Anything.
This is bigger than Rule 34, though. Yeah, this is the whole thing. I love like espionage movies. I'm like, I was like super into the first Bourne Identity.
No,
one of my
it.
Favorite movies of all
yep.
time.
Yep.
Just everything. So like, this was like a Bourne Identity movie, but with like Captain America. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm in. This is great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Very much war related, so that was cool.
Yeah. Yep. Then Guardians of the Galaxy.
Five. Favorite installments of these movies.
Just the soundtrack alone.
I have it on my phone.
No. Star-Lord's character, like as good as Robert Downey Jr.'s as Iron Man, as good as Hemsworth is as Thor, Pratt was Kirk.
Yeah, Pratt
the fat guy from Parks and Rec.
Yeah. Is the best Marvel character. Next to Groot.
Just like good humor.
I love Vin Diesel. Like as Groot.
Good Groot. Comedy writing, good humor, yep. Like the back and forth between everybody. It was all done perfectly.
That bickering on the ship is one of...
Yeah.
Who's Rocket's
voice
again? That's a
fake laugh.
Yeah.
That's real.
Bradley Cooper. Yeah. Oh, five, for sure. And then Age of Ultron, which is like... I give it a 1.5.
A mess. A complete and utter mess. Such a disappointment.
Yeah.
Four... I love it. Movies are so pretty. Like, watching a bunch of essentially bad Iron Mans fight the Avengers is pretty cool.
I like Spader. I like James Spader.
Seeing Jarvis become...
That's so dumb. Oh, that was the worst part. Thor just breaks in and he's just like... Everybody's like fighting and Thor's like, hey! And like, thing, like hits him with his hammer. He's like, what the fuck?
whatever.
So I was like, what is he doing?
I'll give that movie one scene. It's when they're all trying to pick up Thor's hammer.
Hilarious. No. Yeah. No, I like, and then the redemption scene where he's like, oh, can we trust him? And then fucking Vision picks up the hammer and goes, we need to go. And he's like, oh.
The best part of the movie was James Spader.
Some redeeming moments. It really did.
I guess. It was James Spader. That was the best part of that movie for me. Ant-Man. I didn't see Ant-Man.
It was okay.
It's Paul Rudd. They just had to.
I'll say this much for being Ant-Man. It was good for being Ant-Man. I just don't care about Ant-Man.
They had to because he was going to be in Civil War. Yep.
I hear it was okay.
Marvel doesn't do the whole thing of hey, he's here.
Good for them. Yeah.
He gets a movie.
It was genuinely. It was funny. I'll say it was funnier than all the other two-star.
I like those group movies so much is that I've seen all these people's backstories.
It is. It's immersive.
It makes you care about it. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember that where that connected here. Like,
I'm gonna rain on somebody's parade because I know I like all these bad movies. I hated a really well-liked movie.
Right, which is why. Just keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Where are we at?
We're just at Ant-Man.
Oh, Civil War. Great. Great movie. I'd say a solid 4. I'd give it a 4.
I'd give it a 3.5. I didn't like the plot of we're going to get two people here and we're going to make them hate each other. They're not going to get to the point where they're going to want to kill. I mean, the whole overarching plot.
It felt like an episode of Law and Order because it was like, it was him the whole time.
Am I the only person that thinks Captain America is a douche?
Yeah.
And that Tony's right?
Yeah. Somewhat.
No, I think he's old fashioned.
Captain America?
Yeah. I don't think he. I
but
think
if he was old fashioned, he would go with the government.
No. He's proud.
That's why. Tony's right.
Well,
like,
he has a set of values.
There needs to be some checks and balances.
The thing is, the people that were affected the most were close to him. Now, if it was like Pepper who got like killed and then Captain America got stopped in a hallway and told, you killed my son in Rwanda or Chechnya, whatever fucking happened. It's like, who got to first? The dominoes fell in that order, so Tony went this way. And Captain America was undoubtedly suffering some guilt because he was there when the building got blown up. He was saved so those people could die.
Yep. Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like they shoehorned that in. They were like, now they're sad because people died.
I just think he's such a douchey character. I like
that movie for two reasons. Like,
he's a Boy Scout.
Yeah, that's.
They need a Boy Scout in that movie.
Part of my thing when I watch stuff is like I try to understand like what the characters are talking about and then like assume what's gonna happen next. Like, oh shit, this is about to happen. Yeah. And like I'm like, fuck, yes, it's happening.
Yep.
But with Civil War. I didn't see that fucking twist at the end where it was actually Bucky that killed his parents. I didn't see that coming for whatever reason. I don't know if it's because it was a superhero movie or whatever. I was like, oh fuck!
After the third flashback, I was like,
Bucky.
Oh,
I give it points for two things. the introduction of Spider-Man in the MCU.
That's my second thing. That was so perfect because like there's been two Spider-Man origin movies up to this point, and Marvel did the smart thing and that they avoided all of the tropes. Like, he didn't say great power, great responsibility, but what he did say was like, you know, I do these things, but I feel like he said it without saying it.
Yeah,
and then he talked about Uncle Ben without talking about Uncle Ben.
If bad things happen after that, they're because of you.
Yes.
Yeah, something.
I loved
beautiful.
How we
great
now,
scene.
We did talk about how we enjoy the MCU because they always give people backstory.
Right.
But everybody knows Spider-Man's backstory. Yeah. So they just fucking skipped it. And I appreciate that.
That was so great.
You didn't have to show me Uncle Ben dying again. Like, you didn't have to do that. Because I've seen it eight other times.
Right,
like,
right.
And they could have easily done, like, he's talking to Tony Stark, and then, like, there's a quick 2-second flashback of Ben, like no.
So,
but they didn't do it. They didn't treat us like
it was a very
fucking
lighthearted
idiots.
Scene.
They knew. They fucking knew. We know who the fuck Spider-Man is. Let's go. I want to see him fight some fucking buddy, and they did! Fucking did!
Have you seen the review of the scene where Captain America's fighting Spider-Man, and he drops that elevator, like, hallway thing on him, and he holds it up, and he's like, hey, you're pretty tough, kid. Where are you from? Brooklyn. He's like,
oh yeah.
That scene, he goes, well, it's like the movie Hinter people, whatever. Like, at this point in time, when he dropped that thing onto him, he didn't know that guy had superpowers. He expected him to die.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, look at that.
Doctor Strange, that movie was dog shit. I didn't like it at all.
Three.
Why does, like, from 5 feet away, he's going to be like, ooh, I'm making a portal. Why not just make, like, right here and, like, let's go?
I liked it. Three, because Benedict Cumberbatch,
I've come to bargain.
Is, well, I liked all the...
Fuck you.
I liked... Okay, it's definitely the black sheep of the MCU so far, right? In terms of...
Ant-Man.
It's just out there and weird. Like, no, Ant-Man was still like a superhero movie.
Yeah,
but
like,
if you follow Doctor Strange's
back... But he's so important.
It's what he is. It's what
if
he does.
If you've read the Ultron comics, dumb. He's so important, so they had to do the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Guardians 2.
Good.
Four.
Yeah, four.
Four.
Yeah.
I felt like in
some ways...
It wasn't
as good as the first one, but it's almost not able to be possible.
Some ways it was better because I felt like they were more comfortable in their characters, and I felt like the dialogue was better in some ways. And, of course, like, the CGI and stuff was better because they had a bigger budget and whatever you want to say. But it, for me, the charm of the first one was a little bit duller.
I feel like they kept trying to do.
Yeah.
They kept trying to be like, hey.
The plot was really dark.
That's what saved it. Yeah. I was like, oh, like, because for the first half of the movie, I'm like, they're just trying to rehash the first one. But then the plot took it. I was like, oh, fuck, this is awesome. Here we go.
Hardest I've cried in a Marvel movie.
When he's
floating in space. Yeah. He's like that boy, he might have been your daddy, or he might have been your father, but he wasn't your daddy.
Can we say it? Or when
Chris Pratt like fucking realizes I'm gonna have to fight this guy, then Fleetwood Mac comes out with, if you don't love me now, oh, get him! Get Star-Lord!
Can we say that weapon, the... is one of the coolest weapons in movie history.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The whistle.
It's almost like the ace in the hole.
Yeah,
like you never
he took
use
out
it.
An entire ship.
Yeah. But it's like Voltron's sword. It's like, why didn't you use it in the beginning?
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man: Homecoming, another four. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah,
it
very
was a great
good.
Movie.
Hey, two. Spider-Man.
I love Keaton. I love Michael Keaton. He does no wrong in my eyes.
Two?
This is
the movie I knew I would get flack
fuck
for.
Fuck you.
For what? All right. Give him a chance.
It was too campy. It was everything you guys just said that you gave him credit for not doing.
What do you mean? It wasn't an origin story.
It doesn't need to be an origin story.
It had
still,
a completely different arc from any Spider-Man
movie.
The
movie had no sharp
movie.
Edges.
What do you mean? The relationship with him and Tony was totally a sharp edge.
And then they're like, oh, you're dating my daughter. Hold on.
I will say that relationship between Tony and Spider-Man was so weird because like he's like, oh, no, Spider-Man, don't do this. Don't do this.
Dad, if you cared, you'd be here.
But
about the suit. Like, oh.
He does the most risky thing he could possibly find. He tries to take a plane down over New York. And fucking crazy, huge stakes, high level. And Tony's like, good job, kid. Good job. Good job showing initiative. What? You fucking asshole. The whole movie. You just... Fuck. fuck, man? It's because it was his shit. Oh, when it's Tony's shit, like, oh, you saved all my shit, man. Thanks, bro.
But there's also like the beginning montage where with set to Blitzkrieg Bop.
Yeah,
like that's a great scene. Like where he's like with the bike and all. Hey, is this anybody's bike? Like, that's totally Spider-Man. That was missing from the Tobey movies, and that was missing from the Garfield movies. It's missing I'll give from you both that. Of them. It's a kid as a superhero.
This is
that's how any kid would behave.
This is the first Spider-Man installment that it made me feel like that's the Spider. Yes,
and they showed him fucking up. Like when he stopped when he that carjacker he thought it was a carjacker and it was just to try and unlock his car because
the
keys were
yelling. And
yeah,
then,
like that would totally happen in
yes,
real life.
Yes, it would.
Like,
I like that he's like a.
Yeah, this is the first time
I tried to fix it.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was like a 30-year-old playing an 18-year-old.
I'm a teenager.
Yeah,
like.
And it just doesn't do it. It's yeah. This was the first guy. It's like this is a kid. And this is like the dumb shit I would do as a kid.
That
like,
last scene with Aunt May. Where he's like, well, he takes the mask off. And she's like, "What the?" And it goes to credits. Like, I'm like, "Oh, I want to see where that goes." Like,
and I've never been more attracted to Marissa Tomei until she became Aunt May. I was like, "Oh shit, Aunt May." Damn. And then I haven't seen Ragnarok yet.
Hold on. Pause. Did you hear that the what's his name might be coming back as the editor of the Daily Bugle?
We are farmers.
That guy.
Oh, J.K. Simmons.
J.K.
Yes.
Simmons.
Yeah, yeah.
Is open to coming back as
Joe Jonah Jameson.
Jonah
Jameson.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was J.J.
Spider-Man.
Yes. Because he's the perfect
Spider-Man.
They literally picked him out of the fucking ride at Orlando.
Is it in 2? Spider-Man 2?
When what?
When he's like with the pills. Not that one. Not that one. You don't
I don't remember that one.
Oh, it's
two,
so good.
2 is the best Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Where he's like sitting at his desk, he's got all the pills, and she keeps like buzzing him, like, "Did you take?"
Oh yeah,
oh,
no,
yeah, yeah.
No. And it's his, it's heart medication. He's like,
yeah.
Fucking if they bring him back, I'm in. J.K. Simmons was the one good casting throughout the like.
Yeah,
I'm Spider-Man. I wish any girl would love me like J. Jonah or what is the meme? It was like I wish
pictures of Spider-Man.
Yeah, pictures of Spider-Man. Okay, that's it. Or no, Ragnarok, which I haven't seen.
I saw. Very good.
I want to.
I will say no more.
I will give it a shot.
Extremely good.
So obviously the best Thor installation.
Dude, if you like, and you were talking about like how you like a beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit!
Pretty movies always get a benefit from me.
Really,
that's why I like Tron.
They went for this weird.
The second Tron. The
there's a new one.
The new Tron.
Legacy. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a gorgeous movie.
Yeah, Michelle turned me on to that one, and like I thought like fuck you Tron, but I was
that's amazing.
Beautiful.
Movie.
Yeah.
You know that's the guy from Four Brothers.
Really?
Mark Wahlberg's movie with...
The one that died?
Yeah. That's the guy from Tron.
Not real life in Four Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Four Brothers, yeah.
Mikey. Or was
Mikey
it
or
Mikey?
Billy or something like that. He has some kid name.
Oh, good.
Mickey. Monkey.
I'm going to check it out. Hopefully.
Jackie.
Yeah.
Hopefully this weekend.
We watch movies.
Yeah.
Okay, goodbye.